are beginning a brand new series this week called The Table. And here we are. You're invited to the table. You got an invitation? You got an invitation? And you all are also invited to the table, whether you're here in person or you're joining us online. And the table is a metaphor for
groups.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was totally going to say that.
I know. You both knew the answer. Yes. Third service, you have the answer down by now. But here's the thing. It's at the table where we get to experience connection, where we get to participate in advancing the cause of Christ, where we can celebrate life together. And full disclaimer, I mean, we're just gonna be really upfront and honest with all of you. Our goal over the next 3 weeks is to make sure that everyone at Rancho is in a group.
This is a big scheme, it's a ruse to get everybody involved in a group, because where there are groups, there is life.
Yes,
and life abundantly. Yep. Okay, so when I say the phrase, join a group, what pops into your head?
So this, I thought about this a lot, because that is a statement that can take you in a lot of different directions. Some people start like nervous sweating instantly. Some people start drooling with excitement. For me, I would say that the more I thought about it, the word that comes to mind is the word gratitude. And that is because when I look at my life today and the things that I love the most about it, the things I'm most grateful for, a lot of it can be traced back to joining groups. And a lot of them specifically at church. Obviously, there's other connections of groups that my family and I have made through life in general. But I can look back on some of my nearest and dearest, the people that I told Scott earlier this morning, if I were to reverse engineer my closest friendships, like the ones that the people that we call first during those times in life, almost all of them you can trace back to a church group that we decided to become a part of. And it's really cool I don't know, it makes me, like I said, grateful, because there's so much that has come out of that. There's so much just fruit that has come out of these relationships that I would not have had if we didn't agree to do this. And as a result of what we've seen, and we had somebody tell us very early on in our marriage, actually before we got married, the importance of surrounding yourself with the right people. So that's what got us to join a few groups to begin with. And ever since then, it's been a priority for us because of all the wonderful things that it's done. And like I said, that's why gratitude is the word for me.
Sounds like good advice.
Yes.
So, you know, for me, groups has been a little bit harder to get involved in because I'm more of an introvert. My wife is more of an introvert. You're an extrovert, I think, and your wife's more of an introvert. And but you making the commitment and prioritizing, and that's been good. For some of us, it might be a little bit of hard work beyond prioritizing. It's like, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to register. I'm going to show up. And for people whose sweet spot might be, you know, the refuge of your own home and your own family, which is kind of my jam. Being a part of a group took a little bit of work, but we're so grateful that we did it. We've been a part of two groups in particular that were more long-term church groups here at Rancho. And one was when we had young families, and that was work to be a part of that group.
It is,
because you've got kids galore. I mean, we would meet in a house, and there'd be 30 kids upstairs, and somebody would scream and cry, and you know, usually the mom is like, I think that's my kid's scream or cry. They'd go up, and just constant chaos. But it was fantastic because we got to make lifelong friends there and really help each other out and became each other's babysitters. So, it was, you know, one couple can go out to a date night. And then we joined another group later of adolescents, people who are parenting adolescents. Mm-hmm. And whole different season of life, whole different group. And that became real camaraderie, and we're still friends with those folks to this very day. And the cool thing out of that group is we launched Imani School Kenya because of the various international connections of that group.
Wow.
And just pooling resources and coming to the church. So we started that, you know, international school for orphans out of that small group. So it's kind of cool how these groups can evolve.
I started a fantasy football group out of one of mine.
That is very profound.
It's like right there with Imani, the orphanage, yeah.
There's no one size fits all. And so what I love is that both of you figured out how to take what was happening in your group and do something in addition. Yeah. Yours just happened to be across the world.
Yeah, it's just kind of fun. Just by happenstance, right? And not every group has to be like that, of course, but some kind of cause can emerge.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later in the
series.
But when you have a group of people who you, over time, you build trust, you build connections, you share stories, really cool things can happen relationally. I know, you know, on a very serious note, one of the people in our last group, they lost their son very tragically. And for our group to just be in so many ways, I think the presence of Christ to them and bear that burden with them was one of the most profound seasons of my life because that group was there for each other. So among the most important things can happen, as well as the more frivolous things that just build joy and pleasure in life. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, and we need it all. We need the fun. We need the celebration. We need to rally together around a cause that matters. It's all good. Okay, so Ryan, you used the word priority a little while ago, because this isn't just something that happens in our lives. What both of you are describing is cultivated. Yeah. It's something that requires some intentionality. And so what does it look like for you to make this a priority?
So it's in a weird sense, if you want to be liberal with the word selfish, it's a selfish thing, because we truly believe it's what's best for us. So like we know we need this, we know we want this. And so it's one of the things we start with. We build around that, I guess I would say.
Oh, that's good.
There's an illustration I've seen on YouTube for a couple different things, but it's a jar, and it starts with, you know, you take like 12 golf balls and you drop them in the jar, and then there's a jar of sand, and you're able to take this jar of sand and you're able to fill it, and it fills it up like perfectly, like mm-hmm. like wonderfully, like very soothing, just to see how perfectly everything fits in there. And then they get out another jar and the same sand and the same golf balls, and they this time they start with the sand, and then they try and put the golf balls in it, and it won't fit. And it's just kind of a really cool, simple illustration of the idea that if you don't start with the right things mm-hmm. as like you're going to build around these things,
yeah.
then you won't have room for everything. And we are definitely a busy, busy family. We are incredibly busy, but what we are really trying to make sure we're doing is that we want to be busy with the things that we want to be our golf balls, our foundational, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of things that we want these things to be a part of our life. We're not going to let these things miss out. We're not going to miss out on these things so we can get whatever random sand kind of metaphorically fits in there.
Yeah.
So for us, it truly just comes down to saying, okay, what are the things we value? And for us, one of those things is small groups. I was saying last service that my I used to be a youth pastor, and we would have, you know, 50, 60 kids at my house, and my kids were all super little, and they would be like, this looks like fun. And mm-hmm. a couple years ago, like we never got to do that. A couple of months ago, they said that. So we started doing a little small group for some of their friends, and it's been this thing that's been wonderful and awesome, but it's a Sunday night, and there's definitely times where we're like, man, let's just go on a date night, Jan. Let's go do our thing.
We're tired. Yeah.
Like we have work tomorrow, but we've just kind of continuously said, no, we're going to prioritize this, and every time we're glad we did. But it definitely takes kind of protecting the golf balls of your, you know, the values, you know what I mean?
Well, and I think it's a priority because it's really a priority of Jesus and his disciples, as we see in the early church. In fact, the centerpiece of the Christian faith was around a table.
Yeah.
It's called the Last Supper. Jesus gathered his friends. He says, I'm no longer to be called your master. I'm your friend. So he gathers these friends together around what we now know as the Last Supper communion table. And he shared with them this very profound moment in his time of mm-hmm. weakness, in his time of fear as he was facing the cross. And so there was strength that came as a result of that. And then shortly after the resurrection of Jesus, he calls his church together. And what did they do? They gathered around mm-hmm. tables. Acts chapter 2 famously says they met in each other's homes. They broke bread. They praised the Lord together. They shared life with each other. So, yeah, this is a table for groups, but it's really, in some respects, you can say it's the dinner table that Jesus invites us to. It's the dinner table that we invite each other to mm-hmm. to continue, you know, that friendship, that Christ-centered friendship, to really be the presence of God to one another, whether it's times of great celebration, great joy, or times of struggle where we need each other.
Yeah. So bottom line is, this is not our idea. This is not our program. This is something that we just trust that God has designed us for. And we want to create ways and opportunities for all of us to participate and to get to be at the table with others.
And you're going to help us all connect.
I hope so.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Thanks to both of you so much. Okay, so here's the thing, this invitation to come and be a part of connection, to come and be a part of the community of God. I know there's lots of reasons why we would all be thinking together, thank you, Ryan, I don't know if this is for me, or I don't know if I can make this happen, or I don't know if I can be that intentional, I don't know if I can make that a priority in my life. And so what I want to point out to all of you today is that this really is an invitation that's been extended to you. And we see that in the life and ministry of Jesus. We also see that in the writings in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. And so today, what I want us to all just kind of begin to comprehend and think about and then discern is, what is this invitation? And how are you and I called to respond to this invitation to connection, this invitation to come and sit at the table? And so we're going to be starting together in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to start with you in chapter 1, verse 2, because that sets us up, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 12. And the reason we're starting in verse 2, chapter 1, is because Paul addresses the letter. And so what he says is, I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth, believers, cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus. Wherever they live, he's their master as well as ours. And so when we're reading the scriptures, it's important for us to identify who is the writer writing to. Who is the intended audience? This is the only book in the New Testament where Paul not only writes to the specific church and the specific people in a location, but he also writes to the entire capital C church, to everyone who follows Jesus, to you and to me. And so that's something for us to understand and to pay extra attention to. And so now we're going to jump down into chapter 12. And if you're reading along, maybe online or in person with your actual Bible, you're going to notice that I'm going to skip over a couple of verses here or there. And that's intentional because I want to get through a big chunk of scripture with you today, but I don't have time to read the whole chapter for you. So we're going to start together in verse 13. Paul's writing, and he says, by means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of a resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, they're no longer useful. We need something larger. We need something more comprehensive. And so doesn't this sound a little bit to you like a diverse community of friends? Where Paul is saying you're invited into this expansive life, this full life, this abundant life in Jesus. And I want you to leave behind the labels. I want you to leave behind this idea of independence. You're invited to come and participate in something new, in something full, in something whole. And so he goes on and he says, I want you to think about how all of this makes you more significant, not less. And then he uses the body as a metaphor. And it's quite brilliant what he does here, actually. He says, a body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body, would that make it so? And so I'm going to pause here because this is a really important thing that Paul is starting with. It's not by accident that Paul starts with the foot. You see, in ancient Middle Eastern culture, the foot or a shoe was a four-letter word. And I don't mean literally. Like the kind of four-letter word that you don't use in front of your kids or in polite company, definitely not at church, okay? In fact, even today in Middle Eastern culture, if I were to say the word foot or shoe out loud, I am supposed to apologize to you first. And if you were really angry and frustrated with me, here in American culture, we kind of throw rotten tomatoes at people. In Middle Eastern culture, even today, they throw shoes at people. And that's because the foot was considered to be incredibly unclean. And so Paul begins personifying the foot. And what he's saying here is even those of us who feel unworthy, who feel like we don't belong, like there's not a space for us or a place for us, you are invited. There is a place for you. There is a spot for you. There is a purpose for you in the community of God's people. And then he goes on to say, if the ear said, I'm not beautiful like I, transparent and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from your body? So there's some comparison happening here. And then he says, could you imagine hand, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired, your job, it's been phased out. So the way and the style in which Paul is writing here, this is the climax of the cameo. This is the point that Paul is wanting to drive home to his readers and to all of us. And what he's saying is, you can leave behind your self-sufficiency. You can leave behind your independence. Could you imagine saying to a part of your body, I don't need you? Could you imagine saying to a part of your body, you're fired? Get lost? He's talking here about moving from independence and self-sufficiency into something new and different. Something that's more full and whole. And then he wraps it all up and he says, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. And so what Paul is highlighting for us here is this invitation into resurrection life, into life that is full, into life that is abundant, into life that has meaning and purpose beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. And part of that invitation, part of stepping into that fullness that Paul is talking about, is that we would choose to leave behind our independence. That we would choose to leave behind our self-sufficiency. But this isn't easy for us. We get stuck here. I know I do. I made promises to myself when I was a kid growing up that I would grow up and one day I would never have to ask for help, that I would never have to depend on someone else for something, that I would be able to do the things that I needed to do for myself and for my family. Those promises, they served me well when I was a little girl. They served me well when I was a teenager. They did not serve me well as an adult. They did not serve me well when I was young married. Some of you made similar promises, maybe for different reasons, that you would be independent, that you would figure it out. We also are living in American culture, and American culture is incredibly independent. We pride ourselves on being self-sufficient, on being independent, on not needing help from anyone else. Sometimes we soften the word independent and we use the word autonomous. I value autonomy. I found myself saying that over the last several months, and it came from a place of being kind of hurt and wounded by people that I cared about. But the invitation that Paul is extending to us here is to leave behind our independence. And when we live into connection with other people, we get to experience interdependence. This is what Paul is describing in this metaphor. And interdependence is this idea that we need you. We need your story. We need your wisdom. We need your skills and your gifts and your words of encouragement. We need to hear and experience how you experience God. Because if I've learned anything as a pastor over all of these years, it's that each individual experiences God in a unique way. I need to experience watching God work in your life because it increases my belief and reminds me to have hope. We need you, and you need us. You need people. You need connection. You need community. You need support and encouragement. And sometimes you need tangible care. And we need one another. None of us gets a pass on this. That's what interdependence is. It's this reciprocal give and take that there are some seasons and times in my life when I am going to be more needy, as much as I don't like to admit it, as much as I don't want to ask for help, as hard as it is to be vulnerable. And then there are seasons in my life when I get to show up and I get to give and I get to serve and I get to be the one to help, and that feels good. That's interdependence. And then what we see is Paul saying, you are invited into this life with Jesus, a part of community, a part of connection. And part of that invitation is to leave behind your shame and your pride. You know, when he's starting his metaphor with the foot, he's speaking to all of us when we have moments and seasons in our life when we feel shame, when we feel like we are unworthy of love and belonging. And sometimes those are moments. Sometimes those are seasons of our life. Sometimes that comes from words that have been spoken over you. Sometimes that comes from just the way that you have experienced people. Maybe you have been left out. Maybe you've been told at one point or another that you don't fit. And Paul is saying, you matter. You're worthy. There's a place for you here. No matter what your story is, no matter where you've come from, no matter what mistakes you're going to make today, because guess what? We're all human and the mistakes are, they're coming. For most of us, it's sooner rather than later. It doesn't matter. Because you matter. So the invitation is to leave behind the shame, the pride. The pride is the part of us that says, I don't want to need you. I don't want to need help. I don't want to be the one who in weakness says, I'm struggling. This has been a hard season for me. I need support. That's scary. And it requires vulnerability, which is difficult for most of us. Paul says, you're invited to leave that behind you. And when you live into this connection in the community of God, in the people of God, you're invited to discover humble significance. And the humble significance that Paul is describing for us is this idea that we don't think any more of ourselves than we actually are, but we also don't think any less of ourselves than we actually are. He wants you and I to embrace fully and accept that we are created in the image of God, that there is goodness inside each and every one of us, no matter what we've experienced, no matter what someone has spoken over us, no matter what rejection we have been on the receiving end of. You are significant and you matter, not in comparison to someone else. We're not going to compare people or gifts or personalities or styles and say one matters more than the other. You're invited to experience and discover what it looks like to live in humble significance, where we discover purpose and we discover relationship and where we discover meaning. And really, like you've heard from several people on the stage already today, where we get to experience God at work in and through the people around us. Now, there's a lot of reasons for us to avoid this. And the men and women in the Bible, your pastors, all of you, we could all share stories of how we have put ourselves out there, we've joined groups, we've initiated friendships, we've loved on people, and we've been hurt. We've been wounded. We had expectations, and then we were disappointed. We were hurt, and there wasn't reconciliation. Every time we say yes to this invitation into connection, we're taking a risk. Every time. But we don't get the gifts and the goodness, the fullness and the abundance that Paul is talking about without the risk. And so, you know, when I think about even just my own life, yesterday we got to spend time with some of our people. Today we're going to get to spend time with some of our people. Tomorrow we're with family. Do you know that all of those people at some point are going to let me down? All of those people at some point are going to disappoint me. And more importantly, do you know that I have let them down? That I have disappointed them at some point? But even in those moments, those messy, broken moments, those are opportunities for us to experience forgiveness and to experience and live out the grace of God, that no matter what mistakes we are making, it does not change that we are loved and that we have the image of God living within us and that we are good. We need that. So here's the thing, I'm not gonna pretend to know exactly what you need to do in order to say yes to this invitation, in order to say yes to interdependence, in order to say yes to experiencing more of what it looks like to live in this humble significance. Because what you need to do to say yes to this invitation probably looks different than what I need to do to say yes to this invitation. And what you need to do to say yes to this invitation is gonna be different than what your neighbor needs to do to say yes to this invitation. But what I am choosing to trust is that God has already been at work in your life. And that even today, maybe during worship or during the conversation or even when we were reading scripture together, that God was prompting something in your mind. There was a person that came to mind or a name that came to mind or a need that came to mind that he's inviting you to take action on. And it could be as simple as just go sign up for a group already. Or maybe you don't need another group because you have what we're describing in your life. Maybe for you, the invitation is you've been meeting all of the needs and doing all of the things for all of the people and encouraging everyone. And it's time to let some of those people know that you're struggling too. It's time to reach out and to ask for some support and to just share vulnerably where you're at and allow them to be your people too. Maybe for you, a need came to mind and saying yes to this invitation is meeting that need, sending an encouragement, tangibly showing up and doing something if there's something tangible that can be done. Oftentimes what I am finding is it's not necessarily that something tangible can be done, it's that people just need a safe space to be who they are, how they are. They need to be able to share without feeling like somebody's trying to fix them. And if I can just show up and listen and let them know that I'm praying with them, that does something. And so it doesn't matter how much training you have. It doesn't matter how much experience you do or do not have. You probably don't have the answers. But if you can listen, and if you can hold space, and if you can be present, sometimes that's enough. And so I don't know what it is for you, but I am trusting today that God's Spirit is in you, prompting you, guiding you, and leading you to respond to this invitation. Because we need you, and you need us, and we need one another. That's what it looks like to step more fully into this life with God, in connection, in community with other people. And so I want to pray over you today, and then the team is going to come up and lead us in a final song. But I want to just create some space for you to experience from God what your response could look like. And so let's pray together. God, we thank you for today. We thank you, God, that you have extended this invitation to every single one of us, no exceptions. That you say that every single one of us matters, that we have a place at the table, that our gifts are significant, that we are loved, that we are good, that you have a purpose for how you want to use our life in the midst of community. God, help us to respond to this invitation to leave independence behind. Help us to know what that could look like for each of us. And God, for those of us that are experiencing shame and pride in our life, God, would you help us to let that go too? That's not something that we can do in our own strength or in our own power, but we trust today, God, that you will give us what we need to just let go of that a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.